Hello, everybody on BBS. This is another questions call. Welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to.
Well, am I being talked to? I'm not used to being on phones. I'm used to being on Zoom. So, hold on a second. Okay, Google, turn it off. It's my alarm to tell me to call you. Anyway, who is this? I'm Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi,
Suzanne.
No, this is Anthony.
He's not on yet.
Well, hello. Hello, everybody, whoever you are. Hi.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Hello, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Hi, Lauren.
Okay. Wednesday, September the 2nd. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
Oh, hi, Lauren. This is Mary Eileen. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Mary Eileen. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Your name and location. Hi.
Hello.
And it's Dave from Livermore as well. Thank you.
Hi, Dave.
Not really a bullshit. We could be cooking steak.
Not really. I know. You're not hungry? Not yet. So you already ate today? Were you out for that? I don't know. Did I? Surely. I can't remember, man. Fuck, give me a minute to fucking think about my day.
Just welcome to Wednesday night call. Name and location.
This is Jill and Jerry from Rochester, Minnesota.
Well, hi.
Hey, Jill.
Welcome aboard.
Hi, everyone.
I think there was another ding. Hello.
Yeah, there's another
ding. Hi, it's Tammy in Oregon.
Well, hi, Tammy.
Tammy?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to the question and answer.
Hello.
Hi.
John from Las Vegas.
Ah, cool.
Hi, John.
How's the weather there right now?
Who else is on the call?
There's a few of us.
Oh.
I'm not on the council, so I couldn't tell you exactly.
Oh.
Antonio, are you still there? Just not. Anybody else just join in?
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
And a couple other callers, too. Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your names and your city?
I'm Mary Eileen, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
I only have one name, and it's Antonio.
Hi, Antonio. But I think there are probably a few people who haven't either said hi or gotten greeted. So hello to whoever you are, and speak up or say your name if you feel like it.
Hi, Janine. Hi, Don.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Antonio.
Oh. Hi, Grandma White.
Hi, White Dove.
Hi, White Dove.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Antonio's like Cher. He only needs one name. Everybody recognizes him.
I'm the one known as Antonio. I was saying, Alicia told me that I was at a high vibration and I was in the ether. She explained what the ether is, but I forgot. It was like some kind of high vibration, and she said that I was with the angels. Like angel realm or something.
You can choose to be in that place and go to that place when you want to.
And what is it? Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn.
Now, who was that last hi?
It's Jill.
Oh,
hi, Jill.
Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, everybody.
Going. Just Jill, no Jerry.
Oh, Jerry's here, too.
Oh, hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Did you get my question?
Nope.
No?
Did you get my question?
Yep.
My question was from last week. You should still have it.
I didn't ask your question last week.
The one that you asked for was from the week before.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You can't keep up. You got too many questions.
Too many questions.
Okay, I'm back, folks.
You need to hurry up and know everything so we don't have to ask any more questions.
Welcome back, Lauren. Yeah.
One question
Welcome
always leads to
another. Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Dave from Livermore. Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hi,
hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi,
anybody
Terry.
Else?
Cool.
Antonio. One question always leads to another all the time, eh?
Yeah. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location? Only if you want.
One question leads to another. Does it? Nobody liked my joke.
Yep. When you said that, I was going to say, or does it?
I asked my mom questions, and she tells me not to ask her any more questions.
And you say, why?
There are some words in Spanish that I don't know, and I asked her what that means, and then I said, what does that mean? Then she explains that. What does that mean?
Is Terry on the line?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not here.
I'm here.
She is here. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to start.
Welcome. We're going to start right now. Are you guys ready?
Ready?
I don't care if you're ready.
Ready.
Terry's not ready.
Welcome.
I know.
To the Wednesday night call.
No,
would you like
ready.
To say name and location?
Hi, positive greetings from Los Angeles.
Muted.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden. I just muted you. Okay. Now, let's see who's making noise in the background there.
Me.
Nobody. You. Stay still. All right.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Is Heise here tonight, Antonio? All right.
The recording has started.
This is September 2nd, 2020, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And the official title of this call is Questions to the Elohim. But actually, as most of you know, the source that answers our questions describes itself as Ra'an. And, of course, as I was initially studying this work and writing the book on Wilcock and studying Carla Ruckert, I became exposed to the Ra group way before I knew anything about the Elohim. And I felt an energetic connection with the Elohim, with the Ra group, and the wisdom that they were sharing. Intuitively, I knew it was deep and profound, and it impacted me. It made me think deeply. And then, of course, 2 years into working on that book, there was the incident with Daphne, where we were driving to Portland, Oregon, and I did that prayer protection because of the rain. At the end, I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And I said it like a joke because I was writing the Wilcock book. And she answered and said, we're here. Do you have questions? And I thought she was joking. And after a few minutes, she said, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. And that was the beginning. For the next 6 months, she would interrupt me and tell me, those guys want to talk to you, I guess. And I would pull out the tape recorder, and I'd start thinking of every question I could think of. And I didn't really believe they were who they said they were. Let me mute the dings. I mean, it was just too big to believe. And I also said to myself, they be here, hang on. I'm just muting the tones. And I also said, why in the world would they pick me to talk to? Okay? I mean, at the time, I didn't feel very together. But I said, I'm just going to go along with this. And if it's true, it will have to prove itself to me. And of course, those of you listening to the call tonight who are the regulars are very aware of all the things they did to prove themselves to me, to prove how they interfaced with our realm, how they could benefit us. And then, of course, Daphne left and entered Terry. And when she left, I thought this was the end of it. And I can go on with my life and be a normal, abnormal person, which I was. And then 3 weeks later, Terry came over. And suddenly, she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, they want to talk to you. And I said, no, you're joking. And she said, get out the tape recorder. And they told me what I was doing was really important, and I can reach them through Terry. So over the years, I have
had different ways of engaging people, because many people were starting to get phenomenal epiphanies as a result of our conversations. And one of them was just when I got very, very confident, when I knew they weren't demonic, when I knew they were wise, and we had done it many, many times in private, we started to do these conference calls, and they particularly asked me to do this on the Wednesday call and to ask them, invite other people to ask them questions. So the source talking to us about 5 years ago, they told Terry they were going to make an announcement, but they wouldn't tell her what it was. And what they announced was part of the Ra group was coming in and working with the Elohim on answers to questions, or my questions. And I got to understand the Ra group had certain wisdoms about this realm the Elohim didn't have. The Elohim are very wise, and their wisdom is vicarious from watching the plight of humans from the beginning. And the Ra group is wise because they graduated this realm, and they know what it takes to graduate this realm because they were trapped here. And the Elohim were not trapped here. The Elohim existed as a celestial source, and they described themselves as energy bubbles that existed before there was a physical universe. So the source that answers our questions calls itself Ra'an, and they're a conglomerate of the Ra group and the Elohim group. And occasionally, depending on the question, the Ra group pulls themselves out and says, that's a more appropriate question for us, and they answer it. Now, it's all very surreal. So I tell people, don't believe anything. Listen to the way they answer things. And keep in mind that we've had so much phenomena on this call and with this connection. And many of you on the call right now have witnessed it or had a personal experience. And they definitely make a difference. This is not about believing what they say. In fact, they will often say, don't believe what we say. Take what resonates and leave the rest. So on that note, I'm going to start with our questions for tonight. And the first thing is, let's see, this is from Edna in Snohomish, Washington. When a soul is located in the heaven realms, can he or she see the third dimension and go anywhere or find anyone they want to?
Did we do the invocation?
No, I forgot to do it. No, I'm going to do it. Sorry. Okay. Thank you for reminding me, okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our body, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity
of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And we do that invocation to create a protective energy, because when we do these calls, there's an expansion of the matrix, and that becomes visible to the negative, and the negative can get in. And we want to have a solid sheath protection as we go through the lower levels to connect with the Elohim, and that invocation helps to create that. Okay, first question. When a soul is located...
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and we are here to answer any questions or assist wherever we may. Go ahead.
Thank you. God, I'm not doing a good job today. When a soul is located in the heaven realms, can he or she see the third dimension and go anywhere or find anyone they want to? Can they hear our conversations if we talk to them at any time? And I just want to share, when Ejna talks about the heaven realms, we have had numbers of conversations with that, about that. And when you die, most people, when they leave this realm, are kind of screwed up. And there's a realm where there are beings that help you decompress from the traumas that may have occurred to you on Earth. And it's not heaven in the Christian sense. It's heaven in the way our sources describe it. And they say there is a tunnel of light that allows you to move from the lower astral plane, where most deceased people are, end up into the heaven realm and start this process of healing from being in this realm. And the qualification to get into the heaven realm, and some people call this graduating this realm, is to have your heart open 51%. Now, we have talked to some deceased people that were in the lower astral at different times, and they can go anywhere they want and find anyone they knew in the physical. They were doing that while we were talking to them. Like, I'm going to go visit my wife. I'm going to go visit my children. And according to our sources, if they happen to be around us, they can hear our conversations. And they can hear us if we talk to them, even though we can't hear them. So I turn it over to our sources to answer that question. Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. When a person transitions into the heaven realm, they ordinarily do not hear the conversations as they are in a higher spectrum of sensitivities than in the physical realm here. Where we are, and we have positioned ourselves within your realm for the purposes of this call. We come directly to you. We see that if a person idea is beloved of the person that has passed on talks to them, and they are in the heaven realm. The ordinarily can get a harmonic of that. And they can ordinarily sense that the person is talking to them. However, if a person is in heaven and they wish to zero in on a person in the physical realm, say on Earth, they can do so, as heaven has a specific component that allows someone in heaven to open up a vortex to the physical realm, for which they can have a viewing window and can view, listen, and see the spectrums of the physical realm. So it is open if the person in heaven wishes to zero in on the person in the physical realm.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Mark Sonnenberg in Ireland.
Yes.
Millions of people are doing what they can to bring in the light. Maybe we could call ourselves a tribe of light workers. For me, getting information from the sources about the other frequencies, it's like a dancer learning about the different instruments in the orchestra. The more we are aware, the better the music can move through us. Tom Kenyon is someone that talks about the Hathors, talks to the Hathors and brings through the Hathors' channelings. And I do believe we asked that a long, long time ago about the Hathors. But he's asking it again. I would like to see here what our sources have to say about the relationship between the Elohim, Ra group, and the Hathors. My vision and feeling is that this will help me add my light to the millions in our tribe of light bringers. Blessings beyond measure, Mark.
The groups tend to move together or to bond together when they have similar characteristics. So the Elohim is a group of very high frequency beings than us, and the Ra group is a group of beings that he graduated from the physical realm, and they are working in between densities to help to organize and coordinate and keep things moving smoothly. And the Hathors are a group that is even more specific than the Elohim or the Ra group. And they are working together to move with providing a specific our words are, we are looking for these words. We wish Jerry would have a bigger vocabulary here. To interface with other groups, and they have a specific set of frequencies, so they come together and they have a specific set of talents and abilities that they have developed to be able to be perceptive, intuitive, to be able to interface with groups such as your group, the bigger group you are a part of, the soul family. And at times they have say colonies on Earth. They have sought to help in areas of certain sects of religion.
Do the Hathors? The Hathors don't have physical embodiments now. I don't think that they graduate from this realm.
They mostly are on the other side. They do have representatives on the earth and in physical bodies, and they work with the groups that have frequencies more similar to theirs and purposes similar to theirs.
Mm-hmm. And are they paying attention to us now that we're talking about them?
They're paying attention to Mark.
They're paying attention to Mark. Okay. Okay. Let's move on. Mark is the person that asked the question.
Yes.
And I have a question here from Suzanne Taylor. And I have known Suzanne for quite some time. And in fact,
where is Suzanne Taylor?
She is in Hollywood, in the Hollywood Hills.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
And Daphne and I actually went to her house during the first months that we were together. She has a beautiful home, and she holds events there. And it wasn't, we went to one of her events. We never did an event with Daphne and myself. But I've kind of known her peripherally for years. And
yes.
She's very dedicated to making a difference. And I happened to speak to her this past week. And she kind of knows what we're doing, but she's never really explored it deeply. And so she sent a question. And she sent a little bit of description of herself. Sue is searching for unity in everything. She graduated from Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude, so she's really smart, from NYU, and is dedicated to helping the world move from its economic base to a humanitarian one, where we go from self-interest predominating to people caring about each other as much as they care about themselves. She's an astute observer.
Yes, she is very committed. She's very committed to this.
Yes. And she will be. It's in her genetics to do this. And an astute observer and a compelling writer about what is and what could be, Suzanne produces a wide variety of programs and projects to educate and inspire people, and as she ongoingly looks to how thought shapers can think together. As she ongoingly looks at how thought shapers can think together. You know, she brings together really smart people and looking for solutions for the world. And,
yes.
And
your house has a vibration of this.
And she also was very interested in crop circles and made a movie on crop circles that opened up a lot of people's minds. So her question is, what could wake
up society?
What could wake the world up to caring about each other as much as we care about ourselves? A declaration, "We go to the moon," was what mobilized that effort. And how about a declaration now? What could do the most good? What's so fundamental to accomplish that if we activated it in the world, it would shift the world to be on a positive course?
Thank you. We search for a way to express this. The individuals, they have various needs with their life in the world. And if their needs can be fulfilled, then their attention can move from that task or that if it's fulfilled, they can move beyond that and then put their attention onto their fellow man and can begin to address the issues that are in the world that need to be addressed.
So essentially, when a person is preoccupied with their needs, with survival, it's hard for them to go above that.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Their basic needs. Yes.
But
so, go ahead.
I was going to say, but then we have those people that have wealth beyond measure, that have satisfied their needs, or at least, you know, don't have any problem with day-to-day needs, and yet they don't turn towards, most of them, don't turn towards helping the fellow man.
When you take a look at their individual self, there is something within them that has not been fulfilled, or they are vengeful for, they were trying to right some lack somewhere that they had or feel that they can have, that there is something missing in their life. Now, they are making up for that in spades, but they aren't getting all of the things that they need. Their personalities have warped, and they are trying to get some of the things that they have missed. For instance, love. They're trying to get it with money and things and the attention of others that is not the same as feeling true love and being loved. There is a warping there within their personalities. We see that.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I am going to unmute Suzanne, and if she wants, if that inspired her to ask another question, I'll let her do that. And if she doesn't want to, she can just ask. But here we go.
Suzanne, hi.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, you cut out for the second, what I would consider the second part of that. I heard the first part where people's needs need to be fulfilled first, and then you asked Wynn about the very rich people, and then that cut out. I didn't hear any of that after that. But it was interesting. Let me just make a response. It's interesting that that was the first answer, because that's my first answer. And it supersedes dealing with the rich people, because my proposal, you know, it's like, here's my question. What could happen? Well, I have a proposal, mine, what I think could happen. I want to hear everybody else's. But mine is that we do universal basic income for everybody in the world, that everybody in the world gets brought up from poverty. So they get food, shelter, education, not rich, but, you know, sustaining. And that if that were happening, we wouldn't need war anymore. We could put the whole war budget towards providing all this money. And just a little aside, Bucky Fuller in his last book, Grinch of Giants, said that was possible. We can do that. We have enough technology, enough money. That was how many years ago? We can do this. And if we did this, the whole world would change. But so I was, that was interesting to me to hear that answer, because that's my suggestion. But you know, I'm interested in what all the suggestions could be. What else could happen? What are the major things that would make the whole world change that could be done? You know, that's real. But as I say, I missed your answer to the rich people, because for gosh sakes, really, nobody should be a billionaire. That's ridiculous.
Yes. Well, our answer in succinct form is that these people have a warped sense of what it is that they need to fulfill themselves. They need love, but they think that if they have enough material goods, enough wealth, it will place them in a position of self-worth. They don't feel that they, within themselves, if they were poor, they would feel like they weren't worth much. They have a warped sense of what it is to be fulfilled. And somewhere along the line, they are substituting true love for something material, or seeing that they feeling they are greater than somebody else because they have more wealth and therefore they are more worthwhile. So there is this warping. Now, moving to your second thing about how to solve this, it is entirely possible for this situation to be totally solved in a similar way as you are thinking of. If the Ponzi scheme of the banking system were eliminated and true wealth were substituted, something of value in the monetary system. For instance, they try to balance the budget, or they talk about balancing the budget, but they cannot, because it is rigged that way, purposely rigged, that they can never ever balance it, because the money is made by the Federal Reserve and then it is given at interest to the government. So it is always behind. There is never enough money to pay off the debt. But if this Ponzi scheme were eliminated and substantial debts could be eliminated in some way, instead of financing paying banks, debts could be eliminated, and there could be a whole different new society world. So you are on the right track in your thoughts.
Well, good. I don't know about debt. There's nothing wrong with debt, actually. We don't need to balance. That's not an objective. from my understanding of monetary policy. However, I like the idea that you're confirming my idea of what really could happen, because it's just my idea, and I don't hear anybody else talking about that. So I'm happy to get a little confirmation.
There are people that talk about that and even plan in secret that maybe something can be done along that line. If you look into Iceland and their monetary, they got in terrible bankruptcy and they eliminated debt. They put the bankers in jail and their economy came back.
Thank you. Anything else, Suzanne?
No, that's good. I'm really glad to get that, agreement. That's good. That's good. That's helpful to me, actually.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We like the feel of your house, Suzanne. We see that very good vibrations of the people that have been there are still resonating with you and your vibrations.
Thank you. I agree. I've been in her house and it does have really good vibrations, and she is constantly thinking of bringing people together who are powerful people, who are influential people, and hoping to find some kind of consensus on something to do to change the world. So thank you. I really appreciate her. She's truly sincere in her motivations. I'm going to ask another question. This is a question we have answered previously. But Vince in Florida asked two questions, and this was one of his questions. And it was interesting that he asked it tonight because Suzanne was preoccupied with crop circles for many years. And the question is, who creates the crop circles and why?
Thank you. We are formulating our answer. David Wilcott calls it aliens. However, with there are different other side entities that create the crop circles. The Watchers create some of the crop circles. The Raw Group creates some of the crop circles, and they can work together to bring forth a crop circle. And it is not a bunch of men stomping out the wheat from the physical realm. It is from the other side. And sometimes, as the crop circles are formulated, you can see orbs working in the wheat to work with the stalks of wheat to shape them in the way that will then artistically create the information they want to convey in this wheat or crop artistry.
Thank you. Can you share, the crop circles are very elaborate, very artistic.
Yes, in detail.
How are they able from the other side to create those forms?
Well, they can come in, they materialize within their orbs. They are their orb. Like an entity comes into the physical and is his or its orb. And as the orb, they have, you know, they can see in all directions. They have the ability to work in conjunction with each other to move into, even at the same time, a circle within the crop. And in the circular formation to uniformly, to the same degree of bending, to bend the stalk. So they, it can then do these patterns. They do it in synchronicity with each other to then create, it is like a dance in the beat. To create the, using the wheat as a canvas, to create the artistic representative of what they're seeking to convey.
Mm-hmm. And are the crop circles that are being formed today still being formed that way, or are there negative sources that are trying to take that over?
Well, the negative forces can try to take over, but negativity, if you look at it closely, they have trouble because of the nature of negativity to operate in coordination with each other and in sync. They tend to branch off on their own, and not be unified, although they can, if they're really negative, have some ability, and they're negative in the same degree, to operate together for some negative purpose. However, it does not usually last because of their negativity.
Thank you. I have a question here. That I was talking to someone today, and they asked this question. And I know sometimes people on our calls ask this question, and I think I know the answer, but I wanted to ask you. When people, through our work, realize that there is a celestial source called the Elohim, and they want to make a connection, the question is there a technique for accessing the Elohim?
There is no real technique. It's like if you were to put it into a formula, one would be that you have the intention to communicate. You have the intention to learn something. You don't even have to call us by name. You don't. I mean, we will see your intention. Your intention is... Your intention increases your desire to connect or to learn something. As the intention increases, your light, you put forth a light, and that increases. And we can see your light. Other positive beings can see your light. And talk about lighting your way, because then the universe, other forces in the universe can all align with your intention and wish to make your intention come forth or come true. You, this way, you light your way.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Don Herman's question. There seems to be two major schools of thought on manifesting: active, where you visualize it, and passive, where you let go and let God or leave it to the universe. Why the difference? Thank you.
Would you repeat that?
There seems to be two major schools of thought on manifesting. Active, where you visualize something and passive, where you let go and let God, or leave it to the universe. Why the difference? Thank you.
Well, you are a very important part of this whole equation. And if, as we said in the answer to the last question, your intention, your desire has a great effect. What is it that you are postulating about a situation? What it is that you are postulating that you need? You're trying to bring something to yourself. And if you just let go and let God, but you're a part of it. If you if you're still a part of it, and you postulate it that a certain thing is true, or you something that you wish can come forth or manifest, then you desire it. Your desire still is there, and you can put it forth, and it goes out to the universe, and the universe sees it and starts to realign in accordance with giving you that. So then you put it out there, and then you can reactivate it, like refresh your computer and put it out there, and you can every so often put it out there. Let it go and put it out there and let the universe align and let it come to you. The other way is, could you say the other way, Wynn?
The other way is let go and let God, or leave it to the universe.
Yes, and what's the other way besides that?
And the first way is where you visualize it. It seems to me that the idea that we're all an aspect of God, or the one infinite creator, and when you visualize it, you're connecting your aspect up with the universe aspects and rearranging the universe to make help in making something manifest. And let God is like God is external, and that there's some force in the universe that you're not part of, and then everything happens the way it's supposed to. So I don't actually...
You see, we do not see that there's two ways, really. We see that there's all part of it. Let's say that you want a chocolate ice cream cone, and you go, okay, universe, God... bring me a chocolate ice cream cone, and you put that out there. Now, you're probably tasting it, visualizing it, looking at the image of it, looking at a picture of it, thinking of it. So you're probably, if your intention's really high, you're probably doing all those things.
Okay, thank you. Now, we should stop right now, because our time on BBS is almost over. Officially, it is over. And if you're listening on BBS, I'm going to ask one more question from somebody that's been waiting for the answer, and we'll continue over if we need to. And then we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing, 712-770-4340, PIN 250513. So I'm going to say goodbye to the BBS listeners, but I'm going to ask Antonio's question. And here it is. Hang on. Okay. When I was being helped with my crown chakra, I was told, oh, wait a second. I can't remember if I asked this. He was working with some, yeah, he was working with some kind of healer. And when I was being helped with my crown chakra, I was told he felt presences. Who are these presences? Where did they come from, and why did they come to me? Thank you.
We look for the best way to answer this. The presences are beings that travel with you. You might go back to the healer and ask him if he can work with you on this other, and so you can, with your own perception, not looking through the perception of another party that sees presences, but you to be able to with sensitivity look and see, so you can begin to sense if there's presences or not. We don't suggest you worry about this too much, but just use it to increase your perceptions of whether presences are there or not. Also, presences can come and go.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to end this call. I thank all of you for being here and holding the energy for it. And I'm going to unmute everybody. And hang on. Thank you.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Woodinville.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Goodbye.